RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by AccuVitec, dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, AccuVitec makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and your home. Visit AccuVitec.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are wrapping up 2017 in the best way possible by talking about our top 10 travel highlights from the year.
2017 took us all over the map, from Florida to Maine to the Pacific Northwest. It was an amazing year, full of bucket list experiences, and it was hard to narrow down the picks to just 10.
You might think New Year's is for making resolutions, but we know it's the perfect time for counting our RV travel blessings from the past year. You are listening to episode number 174, RVFTA's Top 10 Travel Highlights from 2017.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, RVFTA's Top 10 Travel Highlights of 2017, it's time for our News Minute, which is sponsored by Acuva.
Acuva is an innovative leader in building water filtration systems for both the home and the RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water no matter where you happen to be.
Because no matter where you are, you need safe drinking water.
That is
so nice of them.
So most RVers rely on bottled water, or they use the water filters that you kind of attach to the hose, right?
Well, we're bottled water people, and we want that to change, Acuva. We do. And you're going to change it for us.
Bottled water costs money. It runs out constantly. We are constantly running to the camp store saying, oh, we need to pick up another jug of water. And it also takes up space in the RV. So Acuva uses UV sterilization technology to filter the water. And they're using the same technology as municipalities in Paris, New York, and Vancouver. But they've like shrunk it down and fit the tech inside this little itty-bitty box that fits right under your sink in the RV, which is pretty cool. They use LED lights in the UV filter, and you can purify your water for 10-plus years without being replaced.
I won't even own the RV for that long, so
somebody else can worry about it.
It'll have to be uninstalled and put into a new RV, which I'm sure you could do.
All right, you can stay tuned for our own install of this system, or if you're curious, before we put it in this next month, probably, that's what we're doing with all that spare time on our hands in January, projects like that, right? So if you want to know ahead of time, go to the RV Geeks YouTube video. I embedded it in show notes a few episodes back, but if you Google RV Geeks and AccuVitec, it's going to pop right up. And it just really shows a great demo of what the product does.
Absolutely. All right, it's time for our RV News Minute. Now, we're heading into major RV show season, and which is one of the ways we recommend you beat the winterization blues by planning on hitting a couple RV shows. So first up, for our Texas listeners, and we love our Texas listeners.
There's a lot of them.
We have a lot of Texas listeners. That's like our third most popular state, I think.
Yeah, no? We're recommending two RV shows in this News Minute for two of our most popular states.
All right, so let's talk about the South Texas RV Super Sale. Stephanie, do you think our listeners could get a good deal on a new RV there?
I've heard the deals are flying, all right? So anyway, this is in San Antonio. It is at the Freeman Coliseum Expo Hall from January 4th through the 7th, all right? This is, you're going to see lots of 2018 models finally, right? Some people have been still seeing the 2017 at RV shows that were through the fall. Here, you're going to see them in, you know, all their full glory. But you're also still going to see this early, maybe some people trying to unload those 2017s.
Yeah, like at Hershey, there's so many 2017s. Mm-hmm. But now that you get into the winter, you'll be seeing a lot more of the new models. And Stephanie's exactly right. If there's a lot of 2018s there, you might be able to get a really good deal on any remaining remaining 2017s.
Now, there are hundreds of rigs on sale, according to their press release. Hundreds of rigs. They said there's going to be toy hauler units, traditional fifth wheels, travel trailers, 10 trailers, class A, B, C. So they're really saying there's everything at this super show.
I bet you there'll even be at least three pop-up campers.
There's also daily seminars every day for on RV ownership, and then there's also vendors there. So I'm going to link to this RV show in the show notes. Remember, it's January 4th through 7th, but you can also visit www.southtexasrvsupersale.com. There's also a $2 off full price admission coupon on that website, and I'll link to that as well.
How nice of you.
I know.
Tampa baby.
All right.
Tampa baby.
Right. Moving over to
it's my favorite U2 album, Tampa Baby.
Tampa Baby. It's our new one. All right. So we will be down at the Florida RV Super Show, you know, from January 17th through the 21st at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa Baby.
More than 1,550 RVs.
I know.
And over 450 vendors.
It is huge.
You could spend the day with the vendors.
Right. Well, and some people do that. Some people who go for multiple days actually do like RV shopping on one day and vendor shopping on another. Really, because to try to do both of them at one time is almost like overwhelming.
The vendor area is huge.
Yeah. And if you know, if you're going to a show like this, one of these bigger shows, you really should go back and listen to our RV show tips episodes, because it really, you need a game plan for tackling these shows that have so much, you know.
To go to Tampa without a game plan or a strategy is a fool's errand. I think you'll walk away frustrated, sad, crying in your iced tea.
Or just baffled.
But yeah, baffled. Like, hey. I think that some people would walk away more confused than they were before they came. So think through it before you go.
I didn't tell you this, but Max said to me today, is the iced tea vendor going to be there?
The iced tea vendor is the single most popular vendor with the Puglisi family, because we do max out our free refills.
It's free refills, right? You get that big fancy cup.
They see us coming and they close.
He wanted to know. He wanted to be back there at that iced tea place in Tampa. The boys are dreaming. I really hope we get some warm weather because they're excited for it.
So what is the website to check out for more information?
All right. So you can find all the information that you need to know about camping on site, about visiting the show at frvta.org, which again, I'll link to in the show notes.
We share letters with them, so I feel a really strong bond.
Just like a scramble.
With the FRVTA.
I know, it's a scramble.
It is a scramble. All right, we're going to come back in a second. We're going to start talking about our top 10 travel highlights of 2017. And we had a lot of debate about these, but we did narrow it down to 10. And actually, we agreed on the order and everything. Our marriage has never been more unified.
Probably true.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for one of my favorite episodes that we do every year, where we talk about our top travel moments of the year, our top 10. And this segment is sponsored by our friends at Thetford, and many of our great travel moments, really, are when we use Thetford products.
Honestly, it really does. When you think about the fact that our toilet in our RV is Thetford and our refrigerator is a Norcold, which is made by Thetford.
To take out the Thetford products and we're done.
You got a tent, really. Because honestly, it's the bathroom and the kitchen that I love.
That should be their new slogan. An RV without Thetford products is just a tent.
Just a tent. a tent on wheels.
We wouldn't even have toilet paper without Thetford.
I know. We got a lot. All right. So Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, this week on Campground of the Week, we talked about state park camping. We actually compiled our top bucket list. 12 state park campgrounds in the United States of America, right? Like, these are the things that should be on your bucket list.
And only, I think, one of them has full hookups out of the 12, I think.
I mean, and that's just standard. Like, state parks, for the most part, are not going to give you sewer hookups.
And a lot of people like that about them because it keeps the softies away.
Yeah, people like those full hookups.
She almost said people like us. You well, almost said it. But we camp at state parks and private campgrounds.
I was going to say, we have a lot of people in RVFTA that like full hookups. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to rough it a little, okay, bring along your smart tote too. LX, right? So that is one of those totes that will bring the gray water that you fill up from doing your dishes and taking your showers, and you can put the gray water into the smart tote, and then you can actually haul it to the dump station.
You can hook it up to the hitch on the truck and drive it over to the dump station. We've actually seen somebody pulling it on a motorcycle.
Yes, and you took a picture too.
Now, debatably, I'm going to go controversial here. You could empty your black tank into this.
In fact, we talked to some people who said they did.
I haven't done that. And I'm not saying that because I'm scared to say it or worried about what you think. It's just a personal preference, a personal decision we all have to make about our smart totes.
Now, it comes in 18, 27, and 30. 5 gallon models, depending on.
Yeah, I think the 27 is the best selling one. I think that's the one I would go with, and that's the one we have. The larger one is pretty large.
Right. So it's like a little bit like overdo it there, just empty.
Yeah, the 27s, the cool kids get the 27. Okay. But they're all good.
All right. So visit thatford.com for more information or follow the links in the show notes.
Stephanie, are you ready to go back and talk about our top 10 travel highlights of the year?
I am. And I'll just tell everybody what we did. It was a very scientific way of gathering these and ranking them, right? Because we started off with having like my top five and your top five. And then we were trying to figure out what would happen if we shared some on the list. Because, of course, we were going to share some on the list because some of the experiences were just amazing. So then it was like, okay, well, if we share them, then we'll put those together and add more to the list, right? Like we had this whole thing. And then when we started talking about it, it just turned out that we could actually agree on this. Kind of. You were trying to tell me what
I thought the
my
whole,
favorite thing
I thought
was.
The whole argument went very smoothly.
It did. But there was a couple of times when I was like, oh, well, this was my favorite moment. And you were like, oh, no, it was this.
Well, there were some that you wanted ranked higher. And then yeah. You sort of convinced me. And then I agreed. And we can even talk about those.
Yeah,
so these are our shared.
But you're right. It was peaceful.
Our shared top to the neighbors didn't hear us yelling at each other. This is our shared top 10 for RVFTA. And we did so much in 2017. I mean, both of us almost kind of agree we did too much, that we were moving at too much of a breakneck pace, and we want to slow it down a little bit in 2018, mm-hmm. which I think we're both feeling pretty comfortable about, getting back to basics with the campground experience. But we traveled a lot. Like you said in the intro, Florida, Maine, the Pacific Northwest.
And a bunch of places in between.
Yeah, a lot of places closer to home. We were in the South. I mean, we were in Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, we were in Delaware. So let's get started. And it might seem like an unusual place to start, but this was just a highlight that was a campground.
So we're starting at 10, and we're actually going down to 1, and it is in, like, ranked order. We did decide.
I feel good about the order.
Okay. All right, good. So number 10.
Back over Memorial Day weekend, we went to the Hagerstown Jellystone. You declared it to be your favorite Jellystone ever. Mm-hmm. I think I could probably go along with that. Okay, definitely top two for me.
Right.
And there was a very particular reason why you absolutely adored this Jellystone and why you would go back every single year.
Well, one of the things that, you know, obviously is so popular about Jellystones is the activities and the amenities and everything, right? But then at the same time, a lot of people are like, well, I love that, but it's too much. You know, you go there for the weekend and you're like, we all know what it's like to have fun with our kids. It's exhausting to have fun with our kids. So you go there, you're excited about having fun, but then at the end of the weekend, you're like, whoo. That was a lot.
One of our tips for having a great time as a family at Jellystone is not to let the kids get their hands on the activity schedule because they'll run you ragged.
Right.
Like I actually commandeer that thing at the beginning of a Jellystone trip and I hide it so that you and I are in control of the flow of activities because it is nonstop at a good Jellystone.
Yeah. But this one, Hagerstown Jellystone was just the craziest mix of total relaxation and all of those amenities because they had the water slides and the pools and, you know, and the ninja training course and everything, mini golf, everything.
Activities and amenities were as off the hook as any Jellystone we've ever seen or any resort campground for that matter.
But then the sites were like, the ones we said were wooded and relaxing. And we had the hammock up between two trees and we had our campfire time. And so, you know, and then also there was so much that was included in the price of your their, you know, campsite there. They weren't nickel and diming you for all those activities.
I want to emphasize what Stephanie's saying about the sites. We were in a section of the campground that felt almost like a state park to some degree in terms of it being shaded. There was some privacy between the sites. It was a really large pull through. And when you were there, you could not see or hear the craziness or the madness of all the fun Jellystone stuff. So it just did create the perfect combination for us. And we had a really, really fun Memorial Day weekend, and it really got our summer kicked off the right way.
It felt like the perfect 3-day camping weekend. That's how I felt. Like, honestly, when we left there, I thought that's the perfect 3-day camping weekend. I'd love to go back there. You know, like, that's the kind of place that I could see kicking off every summer, every Memorial Day weekend.
Let's go. I'm serious. Like, maybe we should book it.
So, number 9.
Number 9. This, it almost kills me to make this number 9.
Well, that's the problem, is it makes the top 10 list. You feel bad about it being at the top, but seriously, top 10.
In another camping season, this would have been higher. But because of some of the other things we did this year, it lands at number 9. So we did a private boat tour of the Barrier Islands with Seaside Eco Tours, in particular with Captain Meriwether Payne, who was wonderful, lovely and amazing, a naturalist, a great tour guide. She really became a friend of our family by the end of the tour.
Yeah, we were staying at the Sunset Beach Resort in Cape Charles, Virginia. And this was just right up the road in Wassaprag. Am I saying that right? Wassaprag, Virginia.
It's below the entrance to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Yeah. And so this was just a phenomenal experience. It was magical to actually beach the boat and get off on these barrier islands and to swim in the water there. And the boys had a great time looking for shells. And she taught us so much about the ecosystem of that area. And
the Delmarva Peninsula is really a great underrated RV travel destination. And she knows this area inside and out. And like Stephanie said, taking a boat out to barrier islands and being the only people on the barrier island and being able to just like hang out and go swimming, it was pretty epic. And what did we pay? $250?
Well, that's what I want to say, is that this was also one of those experiences that gets on my top 10 list because it teaches me a lesson. A lot of the time, you know, those things that stand out do. Sometimes the price tag for those excursions when you stay places is expensive, right? That $200 price tag to take a boat tour or something. But to be honest, some of the best experiences we've had when traveling have been when we've splurged on that excursion, where a guide takes you around and teaches you about an area, or you get that special zip lining experience or whatever. Like, even though there's a little bit of sticker shock there, I just think it's so worth it.
Well, the Delmarva Peninsula struggles a bit economically. Its tourism economy is not exactly booming. It seems like it's sort of on the brink of either being not good or of becoming the hot new destination. So I feel like a lot of the things were inexpensive in that area. And we were blown away by the price of this private boat tour for our family. Small boat, just room for us, but it was all we needed.
Absolutely. If you get down there, definitely check down Captain Meriwether Payne and have her take you out on a tour. And of course, we'll be linking to all these things in the show notes for this episode, including her Facebook page.
Now, we also know some of you camp at Cherry Hill on the Delmarva Peninsula. We were at Sunset Beach. But if you're camping at Cherry Hill, this is also right there too for you Cherry Hill people that are out there. Number 8. Now, we have been to Acadia National Park 6 or 7 times now, but we had never been for fall foliage. And this year we finally got there in early October. We got to see the leaves in almost full bloom. It wasn't the most amazing year for foliage there, but an average year of New England foliage basically beats an amazing year of mid-Atlantic foliage, in my opinion. So, Stephanie, why was this trip to Acadia worth making our top 10?
Well, it was very unexpected. We didn't think that we were going to get back to one of our favorite places on Earth this year. But then GoRVing invited us to take them to our favorite place to do a video. And so we chose Acadia, of course. And we ended up going up there in the fall, almost at the last, you know, at the last minute. It was towards the end of the year that we made those plans. And we did a lot of the stuff for the video. We took them to some of our favorite places like Gorham Mountain. But then when all the cameras went away and the camera crew had gone home, we, for our kids, just to spend the day as a family with no cameras, nobody else around, we hiked the Great Head Trail together.
Perfect fall weather.
And we had this amazing day in the fall hiking the Great Head Trail. And the last time I had been on the Great Head Trail, both of Max and Theo were in hiking backpacks, and Wes wasn't even born yet. And that was the trail that I remember, you know, having an epiphany moment as a mom that I could do these things. I could put my boys.
When the twins were on the backpacks.
Yeah, they were 2 years old, and we put them in the backpacks, and we did that trail. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have kids, and we can do fun things like this, and we can challenge ourselves. So the Great Head Trail is very meaningful to me. And to go back there with our three boys now and to have them all just scamper through this hike with ease. And then, of course, Maggie was along, and she just loves hiking so much, and it was just a special day.
So this hike was very special to me this year. You know, you're saying it was incredibly special 2 years ago, and I remember that, and it was special to me too. But now there's a whole other layer of meaning for me, because I feel like it was the first hike where Wesley was totally – he did not complain at all. He did not cry at all. He did not need to be picked up at all. He was a full-on adventurer, a full-on explorer. He did that entire hike on his own power.
Yeah.
And it was inspiring for me to see our four-year-old do that hike and just – rip it to pieces and just love it. And he was just joyful the whole time. So it was, man, it was a terrific day. And you're going to link to the Go RV video
yes,
in the show
sure,
notes. Okay.
I can do that. All right. Number seven.
Number seven. My gosh. The glamping tent that we stayed in at the Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort in Coos Bay, Oregon. It's a Highway West campground. This glamping tent on the beach was spectacular. When we put up a video of this on social media, everybody flipped out. It was an incredibly unique experience to be in this tent and hear the waves breaking right outside. I mean, we had an ocean view from the front of this tent. It was amazing. It was the coolest single accommodation I've ever stayed in.
Yeah, I've never stayed anywhere like that in my entire life, where you just have like the waves crashing right there and you have this like outside patio furniture. Like you feel like it's something that you see in a travel magazine, you know, like it's not something that you do. It's something that you see a picture of, you know, and we got there and that's how it felt. I was like, I can't believe I'm here with those cliffs that go out into the water there, you know, and then off, you just saw the boats out in the distance. Because there's a, you know, a port up the road, up the coast a little bit. So it was just magical, and it felt almost like surreal and fairy tale like the whole time we were there.
And all of this is available for, I think it was $89 a night.
Right. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you see pictures of stuff like that in magazines where people are paying, like, who even knows how much to have these, like, private beachfront places.
Now, were there three of them or four of them or five of them? Not five.
No, not even. And they weren't all beachfront, right? Because I think that there was a total of four, maybe three or four.
We had the one with the most direct view.
Yes. Ours was. So you have to go back and listen to those Campground of the Week episodes if you're interested in going there, because we tell you in those episodes, like, which one we stayed in and which is the best.
We spoke to the family in the glamping tent next to ours, and they were having the same reaction. Like, oh my God, this is the coolest place we've ever stayed, and it doesn't even cost that much. Very unique place. The campground was great. Seafood right at the campground. Everything about it was wonderful.
Absolutely. All right, number six, the Ape Caves. Now, if you asked our boys what their number one travel experience of the summer was, they repeatedly told people it was the Ape Caves, which are the lava tubes that you can hike in. And they're actually in national forests, but really that's just the south side of the Mount St. Helens.
I'm so glad we made it there. And we watched this on Rock the Park. Jack and Colton did this, and we said we have to get there. Now, there are two different hikes you can do underground. We did the easier one because of Wesley, but there is a more rigorous adventurous one with some rock climbing and scrambling as well. So depending on your family's overall athletic ability, you have two great options there.
Or like ability to deal with claustrophobia and pitch
black. I never felt claustrophobic at all.
But we did the easier one. Right.
But if you doesn't feel closed in. You don't feel sealed in.
No, it's just the whole aspect of being underground. And then every once in a while, you can turn off your lights and stand in complete darkness. It's also cold down there, right? And everything. And so I loved this so much. And even though it wasn't my number one pick like it was with Max and Theo's, I think that like having adventures like that as a family, those moments stand out. Like you're just doing something that we haven't done either. It's not like we had been down in lava tubes and we were now bringing our boys.
You have to bring lanterns down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit crowded that day, but there were stretches where our family was kind of alone. It's just kind of spooky and fun and cool and just a very unique experience. experience. If you go to Mount St. Helens and you miss this, you're really missing something great.
Yeah, you can easily miss it because the drive is a little bit, it's like an hour, really, from where we stayed.
It is far away from the main area, the main viewing area. Mm-hmm.
And so, you could say, we don't want to drive all the way there. Do it, and also listen to our Greetings from Mount St. Helens episode, because we'll tell you how to schedule your day better than we did, right?
Don't schedule a one-day stop at Mount St. Helens. That's a mistake. I mean, this should be a multiple-day stop on a Pacific Northwest trip.
It's just absolutely a phenomenal experience for me. And it would have been, I think that we have another Mount St. Helens experience coming up in the next segment. And I truly think that they both probably would have been higher on my list if we hadn't combined.
All right. Before we head into our top five travel highlights from 2017, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The North Point Luxury Fifth Wheel is an impressive blend of features that make for a camping experience that is something for everyone. Backed by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, the North Point is the perfect choice for those seeking a chance to escape it all. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Okay, Stephanie, it is time for number five. Are you ready to go back to the Redwoods, and in particular to Stout Grove and Jedediah State Park in the Redwoods?
Absolutely. And not only am I ready to go back to Stout Grove, but honestly, I would have spent more time in Jedediah State Park, knowing what we know now about what a fantastic part of the Redwoods that is. And we kind of stumbled across the river near there and everything after the hike. And we ended up having just a beautiful lunch there,
and
cliff diving.
We wanted to swim, but we didn't have bathing. Yeah. I was swimming in my pants.
Yeah, we were just totally unprepared for such a phenomenal experience. So
I think you make a great point that the second time you visit a magnificent place, you can often have more fun because you have the place wired. Like, I think we have more fun in Acadia now after multiple trips. I think going back to the Redwoods would be a better experience than the first time because it is a little overwhelming to navigate. There's a lot going on there. Now, Stout Grove was so magnificent. Some of the oldest trees in the world. There's almost like this hushed spiritual vibe when you go on a walk through this part of the Redwoods.
Yeah, I think that it is, of course, there's some of the more famous groves throughout the Redwoods of the old growth, and you have to kind of take hikes to find them. But out of the ones that we went to, this was my absolute favorite. And I don't know if it was because it was the first one that we went to, but it was amazing because watching our kids walk along the fallen trees and just be dots. They were just these little dots on them, right? And you're just walking forever and just feeling the size of them. It was a spiritual experience for sure. I mean, those moments in nature when you feel like you are so very small and you exist in such a snapshot of a moment. And my boys at the age of 8 were saying that when we were in this. They were like, these trees are so old. And I think one of them actually said, I feel so small. They had the feeling that you should have when you're in that kind of place.
But then at the same time, they had this incredible adventure in terms of some of the fallen trees. You can climb up on them and walk along them for what feels like, 100 yards at times, depending on the tree. So it really is a magical and adventurous place for young kids. And what made it even more fun was that we had to cross that river to get to it. There was a lot of rain over the winter, so there was this kind of river flowing. It was probably only halfway up to the knee, but it made it fun to carry Wesley across to get over into Stout Grove, and it just made it feel like an adventure.
Yeah, they put up a seasonal bridge there every summer, and they hadn't gotten that seasonal bridge up yet because the waters were still too high and everything. So we ended up having to do that, but that was part of the fun, as it always is, right?
Let's go back to Mount St. Helens, which I think was the sleeper hit of the year for our family in terms of, like, we didn't have incredibly grand expectations for Mount St. Helens, but it really ended up being so close to an absolute favorite. I mean, Olympic was our favorite, not to give away this, a couple of the last things we're going to talk about, but Mount St. Helens came mighty close. And in particular, the Hummocks Trail. We really recommend this hike. It was spectacular. The wildflowers were heavenly.
Yeah. And we did compromise on kind of combining our list together, but I do think that you know, Mount St. Helens might have been higher on my list. It might, you know, have been one or two notches.
So I might have pushed you back on this one?
Yeah, because, again... for me, a lot of the time, it's about that emotional experience that I have when I'm in a place. And Mount St. Helens, I mean, our listeners have probably, I probably said this multiple times this year in talking about this place, but going here was really impacted me. Being here and in a way that I never expected to be impacted. I just thought we were going to go and look at a big volcano and snap a couple of pictures. And it was magnificent. And looking at what nature can do,
and how man responds.
Not just how nature is destructive, right? To see how nature can explode, but then to see it coming back. We learned so much about how within hours of the explosion, there was already, I mean, hours of like, of the everything settling down, things, there were signs of life. Like things were pushing through, things were moving. It was a phenomenal lesson in nature. For me.
Well, the hike on the Hummox Trail, you're actually hiking through pieces of the volcano yeah. that had blown up and moved out there. And our friends JP and Kathy said when they hiked there, and I forget how many years ago they were there, probably at least 10 years ago.
It was in the 90s.
Like there was nothing there, mm-hmm. right? There were no wildflowers there. This was, if you're into wildflowers, this was probably one of the most spectacular hikes in America. I mean, I could not stop taking pictures.
No, because you're sitting there and you're looking at these beautiful wildflowers, and it's such a, so it's really diverse, right? So the older a landscape gets, the less diverse it gets, right? Because as things like get bigger and bigger, like the trees, they block things out and the undergrowth dies. So this, as a young landscape, it is miraculously diverse. And I just walked away both having sort of that eye candy, but also that like brain candy of this place and just seeing something that was so different than anything I've ever seen before in my life. And honestly, I would go back here in a second. Like, it's almost that kind of place I'd want to go 5 years from now, 10 years from now, just to like,
right,
you know, see the
change.
Story. Yeah.
And plus Silver Cove, the campground we stayed at the bottom of the mountain, was really also a big hit with our family. We really loved it there. It was a great base camp for exploring Mount St. Helens.
Yeah. So I don't know. This was a very special stop for me this year. All right. Number three,
Olympic National Park. Almost life-changing to me how beautiful it was. And number three is not Olympic National Park, right? I mean, two of our top three are from Olympic, because going to Olympic National Park and spending a week there like we did, it's almost like it's three different national parks or four different national parks all rolled into one. So number three was the Ho Rainforest in Olympic National Park. We did the Hall of Mosses and the Spruce Nature Trail hike. We comboed the two of them for what, a 2 mile hike?
It's like a figure eight, really short. So the first one is a little bit of an under a mile loop, and the second one is a little bit over a mile loop altogether. It's like 2 miles in a figure eight. And when we first got there, we were kind of like, isn't there anything longer? Like, but it really, in order to do a longer hike, you have to do kind of an out and back kind of a thing. So we were like, no, okay, we'll do this.
Ranger told us to do it this way.
Thank goodness we didn't do a longer hike. We drove you crazy.
Oh, the boys and I drove Stephanie crazy because we were moving at a crawl. Because every 5 feet, there's something that catches your eye and your imagination, and you have to stop and look at it.
Oh, it was like a photo shoot. The boys wanted pictures at every step of the way, because it really was phenomenally beautiful and cool. And they wanted to stand on all the
trees. Get a picture of us with this frog.
Yeah.
Get a picture of us in the trunk of this tree. But everybody was like that on the trail, but you. If you didn't notice, other families were like that too. Like, look at this freak weird combination of this fallen tree and this other tree sprouting up out of it.
We learned a lot in this area. Like, we learned about the nurse logs, right?
That's what I just described, the nurse logs.
Like how the trees fall and then the other trees, you know, grow up from them and plant their roots in them and everything. So I think that this was an education. Like, it was completely
It's one of the most biodiverse sites on the planet. I mean, there's just so much of everything here. It's like life is it's like life on steroids or nature on steroids in the Ho Rainforest.
Yeah. And of course, none of us had ever been in a rainforest before. So, I mean, like, again, it's just ticking off these first time things, right? Like, I've never seen the face of a mountain blow blown off in front of, you know, like at Mount St. Helens. I've never seen a, you know, rainforest before.
And
there's
what
just so
did
many.
You spot on the way out of the whole rainforest with your little eagle eye?
Oh, I saw an elk, right?
So. You did. Stephanie spotted one. We pulled over. I got the camera out. I got a somewhat mediocre picture, but the elk was kind of right there looking right at us.
Yeah, we ended up seeing more too later on in the trip. At this point, we hadn't seen any yet. So we were kind of like, oh my gosh.
They were just staring right at us.
Yeah. And then on another day, we ended up, we were driving and we ended up with an entire field of them off to the side of the road. And I was like, turn around. And we pulled over and we actually opened up the skylight of the Suburban that we had rented. And we were all had our heads out and we just watched them graze. It was a huge herd of them. That was really cool. But not on our top 10 list.
Number two. Now, I wanted to put this lower on the list, and you kept pushing it up. And I really have to confess, you were right. And I think the reason why I wanted it to be lower on the list was maybe I was being like the high school kid who thought it wouldn't be
cool
to put it so high. I'm admitting it.
I think that's true.
Because I was completely astonished, and I was like a child again in terms of how much joy and pleasure Fort Wilderness and Disney World brought to me personally and to the kids and to you. I mean, it was a magical family vacation.
Yeah. So this was the most unexpected. I said that Mount St. Helens was unexpected, but this was probably more unexpected for me because I was doing just my duty in going along to Walt Disney World.
I almost had to drag you there.
I was not really thrilled with that trip at all. It was nothing I want to do. I went there once when I was maybe 12 years old, and I did not have a good experience. I didn't have fun. Nothing about Disney, like, sent off any sort of nice vibes to
me. You are not from a Disney family.
No.
And by a Disney family, I don't mean a family that goes to Disney all the time, because yeah, it's a matter of personal economics to some degree. I just mean the type of family that embraces the theme park experience at that Disney level.
Exactly. Like, you know how to do it and have fun while you're doing it instead of feeling like almost like battered by it, right?
Well, I think that the expense of the trip turned you off up front, like before we got there. But as we were planning it and getting the tickets and booking Fort Wilderness, I think you were like, oh my God, this is a lot of money. Like, what is so special about this? And I kept having to tell you, just like, wait and see how magical and wonderful this is. And even when we surprised the kids and told them, they had never been before. So it was not this incredible, magnificent surprise to them. Now, this year for Christmas, their last present they opened up was their Magic Bands for this year. And they did freak out with excitement, where last year they didn't, and you were kind of disappointed, but they didn't know what to expect, and neither did you. Now, I came from a Disney family. My grandfather brought us to like 5 family reunions at Disney, so I knew the Disney magic. And we're excited to go back. You're saying already that we're not going to go next year. But
we're not. It's not a yearly thing. It's just there's another. It works again.
A yearly thing because of how expensive it is.
Right.
Just to be honest.
But we are going again. And the boys, now that they know, we decided to tell them and not surprise them this time. Now that they know, it's all like today. They brought it up multiple times. They're like so excited to go down to Florida again. They just have that feeling in their bones, and they
can't
stop
talking about it. It's also 10 degrees right now.
Yeah, and that's all they want to do. Max said today, it's 3 weeks away. He's like, I wish it was tomorrow. I'm like, I feel you, buddy. I get it.
We could take him to like anywhere in Florida and just like drop him off on the beach. They'd be excited. But look, Fort Wilderness was number two, and
I just want to say, like, that's, it's worth, like, okay, it's a lot of money, so I can't say it's worth it because money is different for everybody, right? Like, how much it costs. But I would say if it feels like you can swing it, but it, like, it's like, ooh, do we want to do that? I'm telling you, like, for us, it was just so much fun. Just fun. Pure and simple fun.
I want to stress, too, and I think a lot of our listeners will get this. For me, so much of the magic was Fort Wilderness, not even so much the theme parks. Now, I don't think the boys would say that, but for me,
I would not.
You know, I could go to Fort Wilderness for 5 nights and not go into the theme parks.
Yes, if you lived, and a lot of people do that live in that area. But if you're like us and you live 20 25 hours away, then no, I'm not going to drive 25 hours and just camp at Fort Wilderness and not go into the theme parks.
We'll be back in February. As you know, we've mentioned, you know, we're going to not be recording full-length episodes over the month of January. We're just going to do some short little mini episodes. But when we come back in February, we will have fresh Disney content. I mean, we're doing different things this time. We are doing Animal Kingdom. It'll be a very different trip. So yep. I also look forward to recording about it. Are you ready for number one?
I'm ready.
Both of us agreed so quickly that our favorite travel memory of the entire year was doing the Hurricane Hill hike in Olympic National Park. Part of the magic was that it was our first full day there. I mean, we got in late the night before. We woke up. We went straight to Hurricane Hill. The other part of the magic is that you do feel like you're hiking with the Olympic gods. When you hike Hurricane Hill, you're looking down at snow-capped mountains. And it really does feel like you have left the earth and you have entered into heaven. And I really mean that.
And it's a ridge hike. So it's along the ridge, which means that you have stunning views for the entire hike. And when I say stunning, I mean the kind of hike where you get almost exhausted because you can't keep saying, wow, 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 like this is amazing, unbelievable. It really is like that from start to finish. You know, from the moment that you are leaving the parking area to the moment that you're up at the top identifying all of the mountains in the distance, including Mount Olympus.
I felt like we were flying. I know that sounds melodramatic and I don't care. I mean, it was exhilarating from start to finish. So many of the great hikes we've done on the East Coast, you hike through woods to get to a magnificent view. And that magnificent view is just where you stop for a little while and have a snack and have a drink of water. This entire, what was it, 3 miles or so?
Probably,
3.5?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This entire hike was the magnificent view from when you parked the car to the end of the hike.
Right. And it was also a little, maybe perhaps the most dangerous hike that we've done with the boys. I don't know about that, but like, not, it wasn't really dangerous.
Dangerous,
but
hashtag dangerous, not dangerous.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Like, it did have areas, like it's a ridge hike, and it was like, you need to stay on the path. Like, you have to look where you're going because you could fall down the mountain.
But we had to tell the boys, you can't wrestle a roughhouse on this hike.
Right.
You could be seriously injured or die.
Yeah,
and we said that.
Yeah, they had to be serious, and we had to be serious about reminding them of the rules. Now, and there was also wildlife issues. From bear sightings to the mountain goats. So
and cute little marmots everywhere.
The marmots weren't, you know, dangerous. But, you know, in terms of saying, like, you need to stay with the pack, you know, with us. And we need to be talking the whole time. And we're not going to surprise any wildlife. It was really very much of an instruction for, you know, for them on how to behave on a more dangerous hike.
And our boys do rise to the occasion in national parks in terms of their behavior. Our boys do rise to the occasion on dangerous hikes. They don't always rise to the occasion at home.
At bedtime, they don't.
At bedtime, they never rise to the occasion.
Never rise
but
to
it's
the
one
occasion.
Of the things I love about RV travel and about family travel is that it does bring out the best in our children over and over and over again. And on a hike like this, it brings out the best in them. It's almost like we're seeing older versions of our boys hiking on those trails.
I think the entire Pacific Northwest trip was like that for us. It was us seeing in them like what it was like to travel with your buddies in a way, because they were so engaged in what we were doing and excited about one. I mean, we just had one spectacular. I mean, think about this. Crater Lake didn't make it onto this list. Like, there
isn't
are
that,
so
isn't that wild?
Like, there are so many things that we did this year that aren't on this list. Like, and it was just one amazing experience after another
and
for them.
And it's because we have invested in our children over the years by taking them out at hikes from the time they were one. That they can go to a national park now at age 8. And it is like, to some degree, it is like going with your buddies or with friends to some degree.
To some degree.
To some degree.
To some degree.
And
well,
we
okay,
can enjoy those trails like we would enjoy those trails with friends. Then, of course, we got to deal with our kids after the fact at night and put them to bed.
Right.
But I don't think we could have enjoyed a trip like this if we had not been traveling with them since they were little.
So then let's speak to some of our listeners who have younger kids who are just starting to try to do something with their kids, maybe that they haven't done before. Like Carrie Cox is a great example of somebody who started traveling with her kids when they were a little bit older. and was like, okay, guys, this is what RV travel is going to be like. And our kids are like, what? You know, and they had to work together as a family to find their groove. So I know we have a lot of listeners, and this wasn't like planned content. But, you know, for you guys looking ahead to the next year, it's okay to set goals, to do things as a family that you haven't done before. And it's scary. It is not easy. You know, for us, Wesley, this past year on this trip, he threw temper tantrums at the beginning of hikes.
Beginning of every hike.
Like, we fought through that. And there was never a time that we regretted fighting through that. I don't think.
In fact, I think he threw a temper tantrum at the beginning of Hurricane Hill. And for the first 10 minutes, he said, I don't want to hike. I don't want to hike. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember that now.
Yeah.
What I remember is something magnificent and beautiful. This sounds, again, melodramatic, but when I am an old man lying in bed, unable to hike anymore, I will remember this hike and I will smile and be happy.
And I will also remember the epic canoe meltdown.
See, now that was that Crescent Lake. That could have been a top 10 travel highlight,
yeah.
But it just didn't go well.
But it didn't go well.
It was such a beautiful place. Go for a canoe ride at Crescent Lake in Olympic National Park.
Work for us. So we're saying here 10 top highlights, and all these things are amazing experiences, but then we also need to remember and remind our audience that they happened in real life. We were dealing with all the same things that all of you families are dealing with while we were doing them, and we still walked away feeling better for it, so even though maybe we were exhausted.
If you're taking your 1-year-olds, your 2-year-olds, or your 3-year-olds on a national park trip and trying canoeing and trying hiking, and it's not always going well, and there are meltdowns, and there are tears, and there are struggles, it's not a waste. You are investing in your family, and it will pay off when they're older, I promise.
All right. We will be back in a minute to do the RVFTA News Roundup, the last one of 2017. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed listening to our top 10 travel highlights of 2017. We sure enjoyed talking about them, and we got all preachy at the end there about family travel, which I think was actually kind of fun. So now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, and we want to talk about our brand new website, rvfta.com. It is awesome. Check it out.
So now we've launched our new website, rvfta.com. It has both of the podcasts, meaning this one, RV Family Travel Atlas, and also the Campground of the Week podcast, and also our blog, all together on one site, but really nicely separated. So if you want to go in and you want to see the show notes for these podcasts, it's easy to find them, or the Campground of the Week, or if you just want to read the blog, it's really easy to navigate towards that too. And of course, our blog is not going to have any of the show notes or the podcast. It's just going to have actual blog posts that are written by us standalone, not necessarily podcast content. So we really tried to bring all of our different stuff together. Now, what we also did was we put in a downloadable PDF that people have been asking for a while. So go over and get our stock up checklist.
And I think it's the best RV stock up checklist in America, and probably in America and Canada and Europe.
Because it's yours.
Well, no, because, and I'm giving you the credit for this, because you did two different things. You gave people a list of the necessities by category. And then in each category, you also put things that you might want to have that are not necessities, but are more sort of like wants or things that kind of like fancy things up a little bit.
I said nice to have, right? Now, another thing that we wanted to do was crowdsource from all of you great RVFTA folks, campground recommendations. So we can only do a limited amount of Campground of the Weeks throughout the year. But we know that there are tons of great campgrounds that you love that we will never review on Campground of the Week. And we want to give you the opportunity to share that information with other RVFTA people. So you can go to the website and navigate to the campground recommendations. reviews page. I'll also put a link right to that page in the show notes here. And you can register and you can leave your own review complete with a couple of pictures. It's really nice when you put a couple of your pictures in there. You know, I'll link it up to the website, everything.
And to be clear, we want recommendations. We're keeping in the spirit of RVFTA, keeping in the spirit of Campground of the Week. We don't want this to be a place where people go to trash a campground where they had a bad experience. We want you to be able to go here and know that every single campground on this map that is pinned to this map is a great campground and one worth visiting for your family.
All right. So I will leave the link for the campground reviews page in the show notes for this episode. And speaking of the show notes for this episode, I wanted to draw your attention. Most of our listeners actually listen through their iPhone, right? So are
over 90%.
Right. So are on the Apple platform instead of the Android platform. So I just wanted to let you know that some of you recently updated your phones and you may have noticed that the iTunes podcast app changed significantly.
It's changed a lot.
It was a little annoying.
It's a lot annoying, but yeah. Once you get used to it, it makes sense. And there's actually some cool bonus.
Exactly.
Material.
So I was really annoyed by the update. I didn't like it at all. But then I realized that there's actually a really great feature. If you look at the episode, right? So you're in your library and it has the episodes that are available for you. Or if you go to our podcast and then go to the episodes, if you click on one of those episodes that you're listening to, the show notes are there in their entirety. Just right there and with the links.
And Stephanie constructs the show notes like a blog post. They're very readable. And everything we reference and everything's right there for you to use. And lots of great links to get through to the products we're talking about or the campgrounds we're talking about or the YouTube videos we've done or whatever it is.
Yeah. So if you were listening to Campground of the Week, our 12 bucket list state park campgrounds, every state park that we mention is right there. And you can click on the link to take you to the reservations page that I put in there. The only thing that isn't there are images. But then there's the second feature that's kind of nice, is right below those show notes, it says episode website. So if you click on that, it takes you right to the show notes for that episode on our website. So it's actually an easier way. I know a lot of people sometimes hear things on the show and then they try to go find it on our website. So this is actually an easier way for you to get to any information that we have in an episode that you might want to go back to later. Say you even want to go back and you say, oh, a couple weeks ago I listened to that episode and I can't remember the product. You could go right into your podcast app. So I think that that's usable. And I thought some people, if you hadn't noticed that, might want to know.
Absolutely. Also, a big reminder, we're moving to a seasons format next year. So we're going to be off in January. Not actually off. We're going to be doing mini episodes in January. Okay, so you'll get a small dose of RVFTA every week. And then we'll be back with our full-length hour-long episodes in February, March, and April. And then we'll follow that process throughout the year, a month doing the mini episodes and then 3 months of full length episodes. So don't be shocked when you come back next week and you find like a 8-minute episode of RVFTA on some kind of very hyper-focused topic.
It's all right. We've always got things to talk about that we can't squeeze into our feature-length podcast. So this is a great opportunity to just dive into some of those.
And we know a lot of podcast listeners are not necessarily on our social media, are not necessarily going to our website. You're podcast listeners. I get it because I'm a podcast listener. But I would encourage you during this month of January when we're not doing the hour-long episodes, spend some time on our website. We're going to be blogging more. We're doing more YouTube videos. We're kind of giving a more well-rounded approach to the world of RVFTA content.
All right. A big thank you to all of you for listening in 2017 and coming along on this RV journey with us. We really appreciate all of your kind messages and all of your support. And we also appreciate every time one of you reaches out to tell us your personal story of RVing and how, you know, it's been meaningful in your life, because we have that story for ourselves as a family. And it's great to hear that we're in, you know, common ground. A very happy new year to all of you.
We'll see you in 2018.
See you in 2018.